The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age. I'm your host, John Age. It's a pleasure to be back with you again today. Closing in on episode 100. We're at 95 right now, so we're counting them down. We'll be joined in a bit by the legendary Jeff Davis. We'll get into a little Black Nobility, the Great Culling, little Illuminati, New World Order stuff. We'll get into all that and more today with our guest. But before we get into that, check out AnomicAge.com. Share the link, friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. I'm still on Facebook, somehow still on YouTube, probably because I haven't posted or been allowed to post in a while. But nevertheless, my material is still there, so you can find all the social media links at the top where you can find all the shows. I'm on some new ones as well. I'm on Odyssey and I'm on Rumble. Full disclosure, all my shows are not on both of those platforms. I'm still working that out. But if you'd like to follow me, like the likes, subscribe to all the subscriptions at those platforms, I'd encourage it. The most important stuff for me, paypal.me/AnomicAge. You become a sponsor, someone that donates, a contributor, if you will, or you can go to patreon.com/AnomicAge and become a patron. Make it a regular thing, please. If you love the content, if you like the guests, the information breakdown segments, all that and more, none of it's free for me, by the way. So free for you right now, but I would highly encourage it. It would help me out a lot, and it would make the show grow exponentially. And if we could actually cover the bills around here, and, just at least cover the bills around here, it'd be nice, huh? Nevertheless, hold on to your hats. Stick around for just a mere matter of seconds. We'll be joined by our guest on the other side. It's my pleasure to welcome Mr. Jeff Davis into the Anomic Age today. Jeff's been an active researcher and broadcaster for over 30 years with the Jeff Davis Show, as well as an actor, congressional candidate, and so much more. Thank you so much, Jeff, for being with us today.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate the opportunity. I always enjoyed new forums and new opportunities to express all my research and investigation.
Absolutely, man. Well, I'm so glad I found you. I was looking around and found Mike Hansen archives, and I was thinking, how did I miss all this great stuff that you've been doing? So I was really happy to find you and been going back and looking at all those great broadcasts for over 30 years now, which is pretty amazing.
I know how to do this. It's about the only thing I know how to do at this time in my life. But this is the one thing I know how to do. So.
Well, I definitely want to get into this today because I know it's one of these hot topics that you've had in mind and something that we really haven't delved into, at least not as deeply as you're going to bring it, and definitely not from this perspective, which will be the Black Nobility, the controlling hands, if you will, that really do push all the levers and buttons around here.
That's right. Let me go into a little bit of history for your listeners. Back in the 12th century, during the time of the Christian Crusades, there was a brutal oligarchy who captured control of all the trading monopolies during that time period in Venice. Most of them were in Venice, Italy. And they had coined their name, their term, as the Black Nobility, the Venetian Black Nobility. And what happened was, while they were robbing and slaughtering people, one of the Black Nobility family members, the Este family, married into the British royal family. So, since the 12th century, the British royalty, you know, the ones who are supposed to worship and celebrate the royal babies and everything, they've been Black Nobility slaughtering people for hunt for centuries. And this particular last 30 years, they plan what their term was a great calling. And basically, it was their final objective was to take over complete world domination. They, back in the 1700s, they hooked up with Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati and Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto. And before they learned how to rob and slaughter people, before they learned about this tactic, they just robbed and slaughtered people just by killing people and taking their things. But when they hooked up with Karl Marx, they learned how to rob and slaughter people through central banking systems. And if you read the Communist Manifesto, the 10 planks of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto, which he copied from a document by Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Illuminati, you will find that central banks are the fifth plank of the Communist Manifesto. So, the income tax is basically debt slavery with the IRS currently. That's what they use to rob. And they basically, what they've done over the last 50 years is since they've learned how to rob nations through central banking and World Banks and IMF and all this stuff. Now, I want to just emphasize, John, that I'm only talking about history. The future, what's going on today or the future, things may change. But I'm only talking about what's been happening over the last 1,000 years. Now, what they've done is over the last 50 years, they pretty much control every central bank around the world. Canada, in fact, if you look at the Canadian currency, they actually have Queen Elizabeth on their currency, or at least they did.
Mm-hmm.
So they, through control of currencies and money, they have basically been able to control almost every nation in the world. Now, what happened was some of the Mideast countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya and Syria, these Muslim countries don't necessarily believe in charging interest on their banking systems. But the black nobility didn't like that. So what they did back in the 1970s with Trilateral Commission people like David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger, they came up with a plan to take these banking systems away from the Mideast, from these Mideast countries, and then basically just slaughter people as they do it, because as Prince William and Prince Charles have publicly stated, there's too many useless eaters on the planet. So they came up with this term called the Great Culling. And basically what they did with like Desert Storm, they invaded Iraq and slaughtered a bunch of Iraqis and set up their central banks. And then with the war on terror, which was just nothing more than a guise for the Great Calling. That's why they invaded all these countries in the Middle East, claim it was to kill terrorists, but really it was just to slaughter people and set up banking systems. And in fact, that big oil country, or big oil company that Dick Cheney was involved in, they went in and actually stole oil from many of these after they invaded them and slaughtered them, and set up their central banking systems. They also I forget the name of it now. It was a big oil company that basically stole a bunch of the oil from these Mideast countries. So what these black nobility, there's five families. The queen, the Goyth family is the head of them. And then there's the Habsburg. But they have basically run the world for the last, at least since the 12th century. And this last 30 years has been the most wicked extermination of human beings in the history of the world. It was called the Great Calling, which basically means to exterminate lesser species of people like Yemen. The black nobility, these families do not like black people. They ran the black slave trade during the 16th and 17th century. And that's why you see countries like Yemen that have literally been blown off the map. They're useless eaters that are black. Somalia, the same situation with them. They basically have just been exterminating human beings around the world and then going in and stealing those nation's resources. That's what's been going on the last 30 years under the guise of Desert Storm and the War on Terror. It's just been 30 years of this great calling where they just basically just annihilated the world, and so they can gain more power, more resources for world domination. So that's what's been going. Now the Black Nobility, they have a network of secret societies that cooperate with them. One of them is the Skull and Bone Society. A lot of people know of the Skull or have heard of the Skull and Bones Society, but they don't know the significance of it. Skull and Bones is a secret society that cooperates with the British royal family and or the Black Nobility. And so what's happened is they basically orchestrated George H.W. Bush into the White House, Skull and Bones. And then he peddled the Desert Storm and slaughtered a bunch of people in Iraq. And then they orchestrated George W. Bush in 2000 into the White House, Skull and Bones, and he peddled this endless war on terror bullshit that just wiped out millions and millions and millions of people. And all of this is just basically for these five Black Nobility families to gain more wealth and resources around the world. They'll do anything, John, to they'll invade countries. They'll set up drug wars. Richard Nixon, for example, signed a drug war into law in 1971. And Richard Nixon was an agent for the Black Nobility. So basically they'll do anything they can do to gain more power and resources. And it doesn't matter how many people are slaughtered or tortured or robbed. It makes no difference to these people as long as they, get what they want. So
now, while you were talking, I couldn't help but think of the people they've killed just for not going along with the central banks alone. I mean, not that these were good folks necessarily, but I mean, Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi, all these people were not going along with the central banks, and they were actually trying to go against that. So immediately we had to take them out.
Well, there's no other people like them. In fact, I'm a Bible studier, and in the book of Revelation, I think it's verse 12, quotes was that there are people who claim to be Jews, but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And these five Black Nobility families, there could be no other people on planet Earth that fit that category. They will do anything, or at least they have done anything. Some people believe the HARP system in Alaska, they've actually learned how to manipulate weather patterns so they could create natural disasters and then come in and finance the recovery. See, what happens is through the Federal Reserve Bank, at least here in America, and then all these other central banks, they've learned that this is one of the most impressive things about it, is that over the centuries, they've learned how to use and manipulate other people to do their dirty work for them. And that includes presidents and Congress and these cops out here that are enforcing their deadly drug war for them. Well, the Black Nobility families, over the centuries, they've learned how to use and manipulate other people to do their dirty work for them, like politicians and cops out here that are enforcing their drug wars for them. They're like the wizards behind the curtain. A lot of people don't even know who these people. In fact, a lot of people love British royal family, because they're peddled as good people. but there's another side to them that only the Jeff Davis Show and the few of us that have the courage and the guts to expose them know about their black mobility ties, how they basically just created death and destruction all around the world for 1,000 years. And the last 100 years, they've had bombs. So that's made them extremely dangerous. For the first 800, 900 years, they just slaughtered people with swords and shields. But the last 100 years, they've had bombs. And that's just, we see what's happened, particularly in the last 30 years. Countries have just been bombed into oblivion.
And they got drones now, so they can have somebody in Nevada just drone striking a wedding with no problem.
Sure. Yeah, well, they've been doing that. All are, particularly in these Mideast countries, they've been doing that. And these people are, without a doubt, the queen. In fact, like I say, John, I want to emphasize this is just history. I'm not going to forecast what might happen, what the situation might be 5 or 10 years from now. But the queen, Queen Elizabeth, and Prince Charles and Prince William go up on their thrones. They sit up on their thrones with their crowns, and they just sit sit there like they're looking down at the world like, you're our subjects. We own you.
Yeah.
This is how cocky and confident these people are. They don't even hide that they're in power. They just publicly sit up on their thrones with their crowns, and you've seen, most people have seen pictures of them doing this. They have so much power and wealth by controlling all these countries' central banks that I believe that they are so confident that they can't be derailed that they just publicly display that, hey, we're sitting up on our thrones, we got our crowns, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. They don't even hide it. That's who these people are. And it's been going on for, now, I'll leave it at the 12th century Venice, Italy, the Venetian black nobility. But some researchers claim that they actually go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Eve, who through the serpent conceived Cain, and Cain slew Abel, and then the Canaanites throughout the history of the Bible were the wicked ones. And there are some researchers that believe that these black nobility families are the old Canaanites of the Bible, which would mean that all along they are the antithesis of the God of Abraham. They are his enemy, and they are even today. And have been, whether they go back to Adam and Eve or not, at least since the 12th century, they will absolutely do anything to gain world power and more resources. And that's where they've been operating. They do it through coercion and prohibitions. Like the income tax is coercion. The income tax does not go to pay for roads and things like a lot of people say. Most of these are interest payments going straight into the black nobility's coffers. The drug war, only they could come up with a plan for a drug war. That the prohibition, by creating prohibitions and creating coercion, that's their modus operandi for controlling world populations.
That's and they do it pretty well. I mean, the coercion thing I've talked about so many times on this show, because I look at where we are now, and I can't even believe that this is reality most of the time. I mean, they've managed to coerce the entire public to stay 6 feet apart, to wear a stupid mask, to play the hokey pokey when you go in stores and all this insanity. But, I mean, to your point, that's exactly what they've been doing all along. They've coerced the police
to go after folks
in a fake drug war. They've coerced the people to go fight unconstitutional wars, all the guise of safety and freedom.
Well, they coerce and control nations mainly through central banks and income taxes. Like I say, most of your income taxes are going for interest payments for the black nobility. So that's basically their coercion, is through income taxes and debt slavery, is what I call it.
We're basically, yeah, you took the word right out of my mouth. I was going to say that.
We're a bunch of debt slaves to these people. And as long as the Federal Reserve Bank and the IRS exist, we're all going to be debt slaves to these people. That's it. Congress, media people, everybody, corporation. Corporations pay corporate tax, and a lot of that money is going right into the black stability coffers. So everybody under this regime for the last 100 years has fessed up to the black stability families through corporate and income taxes all around the world. Like I say, the Canadians, I don't know what their income tax rate is or anything like that, but they actually have the Queen Elizabeth, or they did have, a picture on her currency. And I think there's like 54 Commonwealth nations around the world that have the Queen's picture on their currency just as a sign of her authority. Yeah. You put your picture on their currency, and that pretty well tells you who owns that nation. Because as Sir Mayor Rothschild once stated, that if you allow me to control the money of a nation, I care not who makes its laws. Now, the five Rothschild banking brothers, they are basically the bankers for the black nobility families. They're the ones that control the Federal Reserve Banks and the central banks, and that the Queen and the black nobility families have access to all those stolen goods through the income taxes. They get tax revenue, they get interest revenue through all these central banks. They own the world's gold supply. They stole America's. You don't hear anything about Fort Knox anymore. 50, 60 years ago, you used to hear about Fort Knox being where America's gold was held. But you don't hear about Fort Knox anymore because there's no gold in there. So they just keep it quiet because it was stolen. It ended up in the hands of the Rothschild and these world banking dynasties. So they control the world's gold supply. Basically, what we get are these little paper money devaluing Federal Reserve notes. So it's basically, as J.P. Morgan once stated, is that gold is money and everything else is credit. So we're just sitting around here with this little devaluing paper Federal Reserve note, but while they have all the gold and the hard assets. So these people, they have enormous, nearly unlimited world resources by having this robbing nations through central banks going on for the last 50 years. They literally own the world at this point. And like I say, I'm not going to forecast what might happen, what the situation might be 5 or 10 years from now. That's the way it's been, at least for the last 50 years. They've literally owned the world through world banks, central banks.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking that.
And they're wicked. They'll do anything they have to do to gain more resources, set up more central banks or steal nation's resources or whatever they have to do, they'll do it.
Yeah, I was thinking that when I was a kid, you used to hear about Fort Knox and they'd have it, in movie scripts and in TV shows and such. You don't hear that at all anymore. And I'm wondering,
they don't want you talking about it because there's nothing there.
Was that gold just taken to pay off the debt to the central banks, or was it just taken
and just sold? There was a story in the Los Angeles Times, I think it was back in the 50s. There's been a couple of stories I've posted. They basically just came in militarily and stole it and hauled it off to Switzerland. That's where most of their gold reserves are in Swiss banks, and where people can't track it. And say, like the Queen, Her Majesty, you haven't even been allowed to, the IRS, they want to know every little dime we have. When we fill out our income tax form. Well, for the Queen and the black nobility families, you're, they've been absent people. You're forbidden from even inspecting how much they're worth. So nobody really knows exactly how much these people are worth, but for us debt slaves, they want to know every little dime we make, you know, on our IRS form. These people are, I'll tell you, John, they are legendarily brilliant individuals. They literally know how to control civilizations. They literally sit around and think about how can we get the world population to be mental slaves to us. You know, mental slavery is one of their tactics. Get the public to believe that anything the authorities does is good. If cops are doing cavity searches on the side of the road, that's okay because they're the authorities. It doesn't matter how atrocious or wicked they have been through the drug war and these other things. They have basically built a society of people who are mental slaves to the point where they anything the authorities say or do is acceptable. We're supposed to be submissive to it, and that's they've created mental slavery in society. They're masters of mind control. You know, they just get George W. Bush up here. Oh, we need to fight a war on terror. There's terrorists all around us. They use the Hegelian dialectic, create a crisis and then, you know, create fear and hysteria. And then step three, come in and bring in the predetermined solution, which always is more government, more laws, more police. They use creation of enemies. This is a tactic that's been going on for thousands of years with fools. Tell people that, oh, we have a bunch of enemies around us, so you fess up to us and we'll protect you from these enemies which don't even exist. They use diversions. They play nation against nation, racial tension, divide and conquer. They're brilliant. I mean, they're wickedly brilliant. They know how to control entire civilizations through mind control programs, through economic slavery, been doing this. They've been doing this now for 1,000 years. And in the last 30 years with this great calling, it's just there have been more people slaughtered by these people in the last 30 years than any time in the history of the world.
I mean, I've touched on this many times.
Under the guise of the war on terror.
Yeah, I mean, the coercion and the propaganda is so thick. I mean, I kind of jokingly said many times it's kind of like Mayberry, where Otis goes in and out of the jail whenever he wants. But the key is he can always just open the door and get out. But the American people have become so super saturated and propagandized on every single level. I mean, they can't even see the forest for the trees. They can't even see that the cage is their own making. They put themselves in the cage.
Well, John, any society that thinks it's okay for cops to conduct cavity searches on the side of the road, to me, that society has absolutely no human brain activity functioning whatsoever. No human brain activity functioning whatsoever. If you and I went out and did that, we'd be looking at life in prison.
Exactly.
Cops have been going out doing cavity searches on people for decades and decades and decades. And for the most part, most people think it's okay because they're the authorities. See, whatever they do, goes. See, and that's mental slavery. That's called mental slavery. You condition through decades and decades of conditioning the public, they've been able to basically create a society of mental slaves where whatever the authority says is okay. Doesn't matter how wicked, how atrocious, what they say, with the laws they pass and enforce is okay, because that's called mental slavery. Think about, well, how can we make the entire world population mental slave to us? And they do that through drug wars and things like this, see? And, you know, so, and like I say, to me, one of the most impressive things about it, but five families now, Paul, five families, black they've learned how to use and manipulate other people to do their dirty work for, like politicians, and that is one of the most impressive things about them, as far as I'm concerned. These cops out here doing drug wars on people, they if they believe they're actually helping protect us and serving the public, they are just completely out of their skulls. That is just a drug wars on people is just domestic terrorism. Stopping somebody, ripping their car apart, taking people to jail for a lead pot in their car. That's not helping society or helping anybody. That's just plain old flat criminal terrorism on the public. So,
and then meanwhile, we're guarding the poppy fields and the CIA is bringing in the drugs.
Right. That's been going on too. Yeah. That's been going on too. Yeah. Well, who do you think tells these countries what they can and cannot grow? I mean, who do you think's telling Afghanistan you can only grow poppy? The black nobility families, because through the Committee of 300, one of their lower echelons of, they control the world drug trade. They bring the drugs in here. And then they turn around and have a drug war on the public because that benefits them too. See, they can finance. See, they finance everything through these central banks, and they finance prisons, drug wars. These people are unbelievable, John. I mean, I could understand why somebody, one of your listeners, would listen to this and say, I don't believe this guy. I don't believe that these five families are this slick and have this much power and control, but I'll tell you right now, they have. They have ruled this world for 1,000 years. And like I say, they became extremely dangerous when they learned how to rob people, nations through central banks. When they hooked up with Karl Marx and Adam Weishaupt and Illuminati, that's when they became extremely dangerous. So,
I mean, if you look at the British bringing the opium into China, I mean, that's exactly what we're doing here. We're just controlling a country with the drugs.
They were behind that. Who do you think was behind that?
Exactly.
Black nobility. Yeah. The black nobility families. Yeah. They've been running the international drug running around the world. They ran the black slave trade. It's unbelievable. I can understand why some people wouldn't believe what I'm telling you, but it's true, man. It's unbelievable. Like I say, this is what's been going on. I'm not going to forecast with this internet technology and all the things we have. One of these days, this might be put to a halt, but this is what's been happening for, they've owned the world for the last 50 years and through central banks, and basically they've owned the world for the last 1,000 years just by robbing and just by killing people and taking their stuff. And this all started during the Christian Crusades during the 12th century when, in the Venice, Italy, where the Este family of the black nobility married into the British royal family. And like I say, since that time, since the 12th century, the British royal family, the ones that were supposed to worship and, you know, celebrate the royal babies, they've been black nobility, basically slaughtering people for 1,000 years. And that's the history of them. The British royal family / black nobility, five families. Now, I wanted to just get into this, John, a little bit while we got a little bit of time here.
Definitely go
for it. The way to counter this, I'm also not a, I mean, I understand the black nobility, the Trilateral Commission, how these people manipulate their mechanisms for brainwashing people and all that and robbing people. But the way to counter that is to educate people on what the proper role of government is. And I'm also probably one of the most experts on that, because in 1990, I ran as a libertarian candidate for Congress and been studying hardcore libertarianism ever since. The best way to counter any authority, any authoritarian, whether it be your local city councils or your county commissioners or your state representatives or these federal people, Congress or any, the best way to counter these people, these authoritarian minded people who want to have, who peddle drug wars and things like this on us, is to educate the public on the proper role of government. If you're going to have a government, some people say no government. And I'm almost at that point myself. But if you're going to have a government at all, there has to be a proper role of government. And the proper role of government is strictly just basically to protect lives and property of people within the area where that government operates.
Yeah.
And the key to understand that is government only gets involved if there's a real legitimate victim. That's it. If there's nobody's been injured, and that means like a burglary or, a murder or something like this, when there's a real legitimate victim, then government has to place the blame. Because a victim by definition, a crime by definition needs to have a victim. But what's happened is over the last 100 years is they've used the black ability really in their politicians. They've used government as a way to, that's all been done away with. Now it's about having drug wars on people and prohibiting prostitution and prohibiting marriages and prohibiting gambling casinos. Right here in Texas, we can't have gambling casinos. They've been prohibited. Can't have prostitution. They've been prohibited. These are the areas that where government gets in, they shouldn't be involved. So basically, if you understand what the proper role of government is, which should be very minimal, no coercion, meaning no taxes, and no prohibitions. And the only time a government has a role is when there's an actual victim. Then that's the proper role of government. All this stuff about banning marriages and banning casinos and banning prostitution and all these laws that they make, virtually every damn thing's illegal these days. That the government has no the proper role of government is not to restrict any of our freedoms. Period. No prohibitions, no coercion. That is hardcore libertarianism. Now, if people can educate themselves as to what a proper role of government is, which is hardcore libertarianism and or common law, which the country was founded upon, where the people are the king and you can't tax the king, then people will begin to understand that these authoritarians, whether they're politicians or non-politicians that are peddling drug wars, and putting people in jail for pot and stuff like this, that's not what government or society should be advocating. Now, all that does is just, first off, it makes, you talk about the drug war. I said, by definition, a real crime needs a victim. Now, if somebody's out here driving in a car and they get pulled over by a cop and maybe there's supposedly a little pot bag in their car, the only victim is the person that got caught with the pot. They're the victim. And the criminal, by definition, is the cop that put him into jail. This is by definition. So everything's reversed in a drug war, because somebody having a bag of pot in their car does not create a victim. That's not by a long shot. But if you get taken to jail for a bag of pot in your car, essentially you're the victim and the cop's the criminal, because the cop has created a victim, the person sitting in jail who hasn't violated anybody. So the
and
whole
you got
thing,
the asset forfeiture seizure where they can take your property, your house, your car, your dog.
In the cavity search business, I've reported dozens of cavity searches over the years. That's Sodom and Gomorrah stuff, man. That's literally Sodom and Gomorrah stuff going on. Cops pulling people over and doing cavity searches on people on the side of the road. That's the kind of stuff that was going on before Rome collapsed. You know, when all the leaders were pedophiles. I mean, the last 30 years has literally been Satan's paradise, and the Black Nobility, five Black Nobility families have been the head of it. They're the head of the corporation. So that's, but I can say the way to counter any authoritarian thinking is to illustrate that what the proper role of government is, if you're going to have a government, and that by definition, a crime is creating a victim. You know, all these people going to jail under the drug wars, people have for example, like in Nevada, there's a couple of counties that have legal brothels where men come in and, you know, pay $100 or whatever and do their thing, and there's security on site. There's the women are tested for STDs and whatnot. Then they use protection. But what's happened is by making prostitution illegal in most states, prohibiting it, that puts most of these women out here on the streets as streetwalkers, get picked up by serial killers. And it gives people criminal records for drug wars and prostitution that haven't created by definition created a crime. Because two consensual adults, exchanging money for sex is not a crime by definition. But the government stepping in there, they've created problems by, and finally, John, I'll say this, creating problems by design when it comes to the Black bill. These problems that we've been having over the last 50 years are by design. They're not just through their political agents and their peddlers, the prohibiting all these things and coercing all these things. These problems have been created by design. I mean, literally planned out. This has not happened by accident. These people have actually sat around their tables and Buckingham Palace had thought up ways to devastate entire nations and make them mental slaves and mind control them. And this has happened by planning and design, because they literally know how to control world of civilization, and they've used their political agents, you know, the Congress, people like the Congress have been agents of the Black Nobility for 100 years. That's why there's just been endless invasions and endless wars. Nothing changes regardless who you get in there, because they're not the ones running anything. So that's pretty much it. It's pretty much these people. I give them all the credit in the world. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to study them, because they are brilliant. They are brilliant people. Any group of families that can control the world for 1,000 years, as far as the Jeff Davis show, is newsworthy.
I always say they're the greatest mafia in history, because all they do is take out the quote unquote real mafia, the Al Capones, the whoever, but they're doing the real mafioso work. I mean, everything you see, you know, in the TV and the books and all, the mafia is terrible and drug running in Mexico. Like, yeah. That's terrible. But look who the people that took them out were the real mafia. The Black Nobility, using the governments and the police and the DEA and everything else. It's kind of comical.
The DEA's job and these cops' job basically is to take out the low-level drug dealers so the black nobility families can run their shit through.
That's
it. I mean, it's documented now that the CIA's been running drugs in this country for 50 years. I mean, Mena, Arkansas, George H.W. Bush. I interviewed
Oliver North.
So basically, they're running the bulk of the drugs in here, and then they use the DEA and these local cop, idiots, basically, cop dupes, I'll put it that way, to take out the small, their small-time dealers. That way, they have control, control of the big market, and they don't mind putting people in jail and stuff for drug wars because they finance prisons, see? They finance wars, they finance prisons, they finance, but you control that money. You control that money. You control that nation, man. That's the way it's been. Every time Congress has appropriated a bill, it's that supposedly aid us or aid somebody else. It's not aiding us or somebody else. It's aiding the bankers because for the last 100 years, they've worked for the bankers. That's it.
Man.
And by the way, I want to mention that 5 days from now, see, February 28th, 1993 will be, 28 years, Waco, Texas, 130 Branch Davidians, American men, women, and children were military-style assaulted by air and ground. And 51 days later, they were basically slaughtered. But to this day, there's been no indictments of any of the tank drivers or officials. They basically just went and slaughtered, 130 Americans and got away with it. And, so that's coming up here in 5 days. So I'll be playing some of my Jeff Davis Show videos on Waco coming up here because I interviewed, I got to know many of them, been up to the memorials and stuff. Salt of the earth people. And they know about the New World Order. And I think that, and my speculation is, or my thought is that that may have been one of the reasons why they were taken out. You have 130 people in this that were, they were fixing to pay off a 77 acre land. They all knew about the world order. Cause I know them. I've seen them later too. They talked about that. That's a dangerous situation for the world order. Just like we had the Republic of Texas down here, 1996, 1997. I got to interview Archie Lowe, the president of the Republic of Texas, and Richard McLaren, the ambassador for the Republic of Texas. They all know about the new world order too. And, Archie, they had, Archie Lowe said on one of my TV shows that the president, that they had 150 Texans who had signed a petition to kick the IRS and the Federal Reserve Bank out of Dallas.
Man.
Now, when you get that kind of sizable world order of black nobility people, they don't like that kind of stuff. So that's why I think they came down and basically just demonized the Republic of Texas movement back in 1996, 97, killed some of them, imprisoned some of them, basically just destroyed the movement because they were becoming a threat. They were common law advocates where the government is very minimal. Things are volunteer. Pick the Federal Reserve Bank out of Dallas, the IRS out of Texas, black nobility and these rulers, they don't like that kind of stuff. And when they see those kinds of numbers of people, turning against them. So they basically destroyed the Republic of Texas movement down here in 1997. So
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's definitely something since you were living it. And right there in that time, I look at the events of the 90s when I talk about Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City bombing, even World Trade One, I think all that was kind of used to demonize that burgeoning patriot movement of the early 90s. And I think we're seeing a lot of similarities where you look at the demonization of the quote-unquote storming the Capitol, and you look at the Hammond Ranch and the Bundy Ranch and stuff in the last 10 years.
Well, they, in the past anyway, they will do anything to, if they see a threat, they'll eliminate it. And I've never worried about it. I interviewed Jack McLam, who Police Against New World Order. I don't know if you, the late Jack McLam, but, he made a comment that, if the corporate de facto government, which is what this is, we've been living in, because in 1913, when the Federal Reserve Bank, basically America became a giant corporation. Many people don't know that.
Good old Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, Woodrow Wilson. That basically turned America into a giant corporation under the Corporation of London and the Rothschilds through the Bank of England. But we've been living under what's called a corporate de facto government. That's what the Republic of Texas, they knew all this stuff. Well, these people were studying this stuff, laws, and how we were taken over, what common law looks like. But they have in the past, I lost my train of thought. Jack McLam, who I interviewed back in the 90s, he was speaking to a bunch of people. He was Police Against New World Order. And he said that if the corporate de facto government or the government has a list of enemies, I want Jack McLam and Police Against the New World Order on all the lists and on top of each list. And I thought to myself, damn, man, that's where I want the Jeff Miniver show. I've always looked at it, John, as if they're watching me or listening to me, I want these FBI agents, CIA agents to understand that they're not the Black Mobile. They're not, at the end of the day, they're fessing up to these people just like everybody else. So at the end of the day, they're not in the big club. They are as expendable as anybody else. So I've always taken an approach that I hope these people are listening to me. Maybe I might wake some of them up. Because like I say, at the end of the day, they're not in the five Black Nobility families. They're not the upper rulers of the world. They're basically just expendable pawns in the game. That's it. We all are.
Yeah, just can't afford them.
Long as these people have maintained control like they have, everybody's expendable. U.S. military fighting these no-win wars. Been over there for 30 years. That has nothing to do with fighting for our freedoms or any of this. That's all Black Mobility bankers' wars over there. They've been fighting for over there. For 30 years they've been over there. They're expendable pawns. That's it. And I know because I spent 12 years in the Air Force, and for the first 10 years, I believed that lie, that I was actually in the Air Force defending the country. But the last 2 years, I woke up. I realized then that I was just a useful idiot, fighting for bankers and everything else. So I've been on both sides. In the first half of my life, I was stone cold dude, didn't know any of that. The last half of my life, through research and God's wisdom and guidance and inspiration, I've got these people, I would say, almost completely figured out. In fact, my 30 years of advocacy, whether it's by accident or luck or God's will, I've outsmarted the Black Mobility tactics on every front. I've opposed all their wars. I've opposed all their drug wars, all their mechanisms that they've employed. Jeff Davis' show is outsmart. And that is the most proudest thing that I've done in my 30 years of advocacy. I have no Black Mobility blood on my hands. Whether that's by accident or luck or God's will, you can't point to my record and say, well, Black Nobility fooled him. because I have not voted for any of these politicians that have peddled wars. I've opposed all these wars. I've opposed all them, and publicly. It's all documented. So that's it. I mean, I'm very proud of my advocacy. I believe it's God-inspired. I really do. In 1992, I had a moment, John. I'll wrap it with you.
Go for it, man.
I had been studying things like the Federal Reserve Bank, books and stuff, talking to a few people. I had this moment, one morning, I woke up and my mouth was just so cotton mouth dry. I mean, I felt like I could have drank a gallon of water. And it was like just a few minutes later, all of a sudden, there was like this boosh. It was like a tornado rush just gobbled into my mind. And at that very moment, I realized that everything I had believed in my life for the first 32 years was an illusion, fake, not real. All these wars were orchestrated, drug war. Yeah, I knew at that moment, and I believe God woke me from my sleep. And from, I remember thinking, I believe God woke me from my sleep for a purpose, to deal with this problem. And I've been dealing with it ever since. By the way, right after that happened, I went into depression for a couple of weeks after that, because it's unbelievable to think that everything you believed for the first 32 years of your life was an illusion. But it's an illusion. All these wars that are being peddled, not for the real reason. Drug wars are not to keep us safe. Everything's just, it's fake. It's not real. And when I saw your thing about seeking truth in a world propagating lies, that's all it is. That's all it's been anyway. Like I say, I'm not going to forecast what's going down the road, because shows like this are helping, I believe. But for history, for the last 100 years, there's been a wizard behind the curtain running things. And all these politicians and these issues are just an illusion. They're not even real. Wars are not for what they're being told. It's not real. It's fake. It's wicked, really, because it's mind control. They've mind controlled the public into believing this thing.
Yeah, I often wonder why people can't wake up from this stuff, but at the same time, I understand it, because just like you, you know, it's hard to reconcile the whole world's a sham, basically.
Well, like I say, when that morning hit me, I was depressed for a couple of weeks. I really was. It was a hard thing to swallow. It's one of the hardest things I've ever swallowed, other than maybe knowing the great calling that's been going on for the last 30 years. But yeah, it was so such a powerful moment. It's such an awakening. I can only believe that personally that it's from a higher authority. I believe God, the God of Abraham, has woke me from my sleep to deal with this problem. Let me finally say, John, I didn't even have these black nobility families pinned down until about 3 years ago. I knew about the Rothschilds, their involvement in their banking, and Trilateral Commission, and Bilderbergers. Committee of 300, but even myself, I didn't have these five black nobility families pinned down until about 3 years ago. So for me, my advocacy and my study, I believe it's been on God's timetable. You know, he woke me up in 92 to this part, and then maybe another part in this part, but I didn't actually have the black nobility families and the great calling pinned down until about 3 years ago. So to me, I believe it's been on God's timetable, not mine. It's kind of like God's plan for this to happen. So.
Well, I guess the million-dollar question is, do you think we can turn this thing around and stop the great culling and wake people up enough to get out of this, or what do you think?
I would say that's probably a question right now, but I'm just leaving in God's hands. Yeah. All we can do is just do what we can do. I mean, I know I'm doing the right thing and just kind of let God sort this, you know, let God sort this out. See where we end up. I would say that would be my answer. I'm not going to forecast one way or the other. I just gave your listeners a history of this. This is what's been happening. But 5 years from now, I'm not going to make any predictions. I mean, back in 95, 96, I actually predicted human depopulation. It's documented. And we had human depopulation, planned human depopulation. There's a lot of predictions I've made. But I will say this. As long as this is 110% Jeff Davis show for the record. As long as there's any type of coercion, whether it's taxes or any type of coercion anywhere, any type of coercion or any type of prohibitions anywhere in the world, you will not have real liberty and peace on planet Earth. That is 110% prediction. As long as there's any coercion, any prohibitions anywhere in the world, you're not going to have real liberty and peace on planet Earth. It's that simple. That's 110% Jeff Davis show for the record. I know libertarianism, and I know what's so. That's it. If the world population wants real liberty and peace, you're not going to have it as long as there's any coercion or any prohibitions. And I will add that is the Black Nobility family's modus operandi. So basically, if you could eliminate them somehow, then you'd have
it. Yeah, that's the truth. Well, that's a pretty good spot to leave it, Jeff. How can everybody follow what you're doing, or at least check out what you got?
Just Google Jeff Davis Show. Just Google Jeff Davis Show. It's currently a social media empire, which I'm proud of. It's my whole life. I was a good young golfer as a kid. I did some amateur boxing, but my whole life is up there. But what I'm mostly proud of is my last 30 years of advocacy, because it's all peace and liberty, hardcore. Peace and liberty to the max. No coercion, no prohibitions. Just like what I said here on our final statement. All of my 30 years of advocacy is no coercion, no prohibitions. That's it.
Well, that sounds beautiful, man. Well, if you'll stick around for about 5 seconds, I'll close things up here and talk to you on the other side.
All righty, John.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Wow, if you missed any of that, fear not. You can check it out at anomicage.com. I'll have the video and the audio up there, not only from today's show with the great Jeff Davis, but also all of our past guests as well. As I always say, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So try to get out there and make that difference and do your part. And until next time, be safe out there, and I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to anomicage.com. That's anomicage.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm going to go to the next one.